Welcome to Baraka Church, as guest speaker Jeff Slider shares with us the message, Parting Counsel. We often have great plans for our lives that end up being wrecked for reasons we can't understand. We usually become disappointed, frustrated, or even angry, feeling like we have failed or missed out. In this message, Jeff explains the cause of many of these situations and the solution to them all.
We just had a garage sale, and we're getting rid of a few items of my mom's. And it reminded me, my mom has been gone for almost 2 years now. It'll be 2 years in December. We have not been able to have a garage sale because of pandemic. And it was kind of interesting to go through some of those wonderful trinkets that reminded me of her. But one of the things it reminded me of is the fact that she was and always will be my mother, okay? Even at age 94, she was still my mother. I was her little boy. And it makes me think of those times back when I was in fourth grade or whenever, when I would go out that front door and she always had an admonition or some word of caution to give me. And as I have been doing some devotions, I found that same kind of admonition. I don't know if your mom was like this, but as I would go out that front door, she would give me that first verse, that wise caution. And she would say, look both ways before you cross the street. Okay, she did not want a speed bump son. And she was just that way. And it didn't matter. You know what? When I was 18, she would always say that to me. Be sure to look both ways before you cross the road. Okay, Mom, thanks. You know, the only time I had trouble with that was when we traveled overseas and people were driving on the wrong side of the road. I was looking the wrong way, okay? But Mom would give me this wise caution. But then she would follow that up with gracious hope. You know, she would always have that caution. And then she would say, but you know what? And she would say, dinner will be served and ready at 6 o'clock. And she'd usually tell me what it was. And ooh, I almost didn't want to leave the house. So I always had something to look forward to. But then she would give you that one last little snippet at the end. And it was that judgment promised. But if you're late, your father will, and she could go into a whole litany of wonderful things that would go on. Well, as I was looking in 1 Samuel, and I'll ask you to turn there as well, 1 Samuel chapter 12, if you have a Bible with you, 1 Samuel chapter 12 talks about this final admonition, if you will, this counsel that our God and Father gives us as we go out into this world. And we need to be ever aware of the fact that he has set before us this wise counsel, this gracious hope, and even this promised judgment. And I love this passage, which starts in verse 20 of 1 Samuel 12. And it says, and Samuel said to the people, do not be afraid, for you've done all this evil. Let me set the context here. They had just been praying for and admonishing, God, we need to be like other nations. We have to have a king. We want to have a centralized government, just like these other nations on earth. God had said, no, I'm your king. And they kept saying, no, we need to have a king, flesh and blood. And God said, okay, you asked for it. It's kind of like America, you know. You want a leader? Okay, you asked for it. Samuel goes on and he says, you have done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord. Here's our admonition. Do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Verse 21, and do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. Verse 22, for the Lord will not forget his people or forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, and I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all of your heart. For consider what great things that he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we are astounded at your love, your patience, your perseverance with us. Help us that your word would change our hearts, our lives, even our outlook, that we might be convicted for your name and, Father, for your creation, your children here. Help us, Lord, that we would see in your word great counsel. And Lord, help us not to be like the little boy who leaves the house and forgets it quickly, but instead help us that we would walk in that counsel and count it as a blessing and a joy and a guide and a promise for our daily walk. Lord, we will give you the thanks and give you the glory, and we would ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So God says, through Samuel, okay, you are my children. As you're leaving my stead, here are some words that I want to leave with you. And here is the desire, I think, of God as we go out of these doors today. And he starts with that wise caution. First, in verse 20, and Samuel said to the people, do not be afraid, for you have done all this evil. He says, you need to learn from your past sins. You need to learn. Yes, the penalty of our sin in Jesus Christ, through the blood of Christ, through the cross of Christ, through the resurrection of Christ, has been absolved. It's been extinguished. It's been erased. But the reality is, even though our sin is as far as the east is from the west, we need to remember. I don't know if you've got children like mine, but and I'm hoping they're not listening. But I can't tell you how many times we had to go through the same lesson over and over and over again. But sadly, that is just like me. God goes through the same lesson with me over and over and over again. I think Satan knows exactly what buttons to push and where he can trip me up. And God has to keep saying, avoid this, don't look at that, don't think this, don't be. And he goes through these things over and over and over again with me. Don't forget the mistakes you've made. Don't be bondaged or enslaved to them. But don't forget so that you don't do it again. You know, when I go out of the house and make a wrong turn, if I do it every week, man, that's not too bright. And yet we do it on a regular basis. I do it on a regular basis. I go out that door and I know the things that tempt me or distract me or trip me up, and I'll go right down that same path. God says, I don't want you to forget your past. It's kind of like a wrong turn. We need to learn from it. Fear God. Fear God. No one is beyond hope. You know what? Even if you make the same mistake over and over again, he keeps saying, I love you. Over and over and over again. Amen. But he also gives us that caution. Don't make the same mistake, okay? Learn, grow, mature in all that you encounter. God graciously has overruled our sins. Now we need to turn from them. Okay? Secondly, he says in that same verse, he says, but I want you to serve the Lord. I love that idea. What is our purpose here on life? Is it to make money? Well, no, some of us would fail pretty miserably. Is it to be popular? Again, some of us would fail pretty miserably. Is it to, and you can name any number of things that the world says is your purpose in life, but I'm telling you, my friends, it is not for our well-being, it is for our God and our Father. I love the words, and I'm not a Calvinist, but I love the words of Calvin, who said, what is our purpose in life? To love, serve, honor, and obey God. That's it. I don't hear any popularity in there. I don't hear any comfort. I don't hear the wonderful vacation, the nice house, even raising a great family. Love, serve, honor, and obey God. What's your purpose in life? Have you asked yourself that question? Is it to serve the Lord? It's an exhortation to service. I love that our team is out in Philadelphia reaching out with the Word of God to hearts and lives that desperately need it and have not heard it. Is your desire in life to serve God graciously, wonderfully? Best way to serve Him is avoid those sins that we talked about already and move forward. We need to serve Him. If you want to avoid sin in your life, put service in your life, because it will distract you from the other things of this world. We need to serve the Lord. And then in verse 21, he says, avoid idols. He says, and do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. They are pointless. They are an empty pit. What is it you're pursuing in life? And some of them are wonderful things. You know, a career is a good thing. Education is a good thing. A happy, healthy, and safe family is a good thing. But you know what? It's not the foundation of life. We are to avoid those things that become idols in our lives and that replace God the Father. Is there anything in your life that has replaced God? I know as I get older, it's not uncommon for, gee, I'd like to just be able to get out of bed, Lord, you know. It's not the whole point. You understand, you can serve God even if you can't get out of bed. I have patients that I work with every day that many of them cannot get out of a wheelchair or a Broda chair or a bed. And I'll tell you what, a lot of them feel horrible because all of a sudden their purpose in life is gone. But you know what? They can still serve God from that wheelchair, Broda chair, bed. They can be prayer warriors. They can be encouragers. They can be, and you can name any number of things that God can use a bedbound person to do, and they can accomplish great things. They can move the world from their wheelchair. We have to understand that the things of this world are empty. They will perish. They will fade. They really will never fulfill. Are you seeking the things of God? Are you seeking those things that are above this world, beyond this world? Are you going after that which is pleasing, honoring, glorifying to God? Second, not only does God give us through Samuel wise caution, but He also gives us gracious hope. Okay, I can stand up here and preach at you and tell you all the bad things you're doing, but you know what God says? You are His children. You know what? I can't give you any greater gift than that. I could be here. I could be Governor DeWine and give you $1 million if you get vaccinated, but you know what? It doesn't mean anything compared to being called the son or the child of God.
Amen.
Do you understand? You understand where you were and you've been adopted, you've been paid for? And again, it gets me going. I've got to be very careful because I will cry when I think about what God has done for me, for stupid me, for foolish, rebellious me. Look at verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake His people. He says, I assure you, I will not leave you. So He gives us an assurance. I will not leave you. We don't deserve it, but God's purpose is accomplished in us. This is the reason that we're here, is to glorify our God and our Father. And he says, you are my children. Disobedient as you may be, stupid, pardon me if I've called you stupid, stupid as we may be, he says, you are my child. How many times did your kids do things that you thought, what were they thinking? How did your love go for them? Didn't change, did it? Well, okay. You may have wanted to do things with them involving shackles in the basement, but you never stopped loving them. Isn't that astounding? Now, think of the Heavenly Father who says, oh, I've paid dearly for you. I'm not giving up on you. I love you. He says, I will not forsake my people. For his name's sake. It's a testimony. Now, here's a question for you. When people see you, who do they think of? Do they see Jesus Christ in you? Do they see God the Father in you? Do they see your Heavenly Father in you? If not, we need to change that picture, don't we? I've told you this several times before, but it still holds true in our youth groups. We used to play this game where we would put people on trial for being a Christian. And the prosecutor would come up and say, this person is a Christian and should be condemned. And oftentimes there wasn't enough evidence to convict. How about your life? Is there enough evidence that you belong to the Son of God? That you are the child of the living God? Or do you blend in pretty nicely? I know I tend to want to blend in, but God says, I want you to be mine. I want you to be my child. I want you to look and sound and be like me. And he says, and I will never forsake you. He also says that prayer is given. Look at verse 23. It says, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. People were begging for Samuel's prayer. And it was a sin to cease that intercession. Are you instant in season and out with prayer? I hope so. That should be your first and foremost ministry. As you're heading out the door, are you praying? Not only for your day, but the days of others, the health of others, the hearts of others? Is that where you're at? Or do you kind of forget about the Lord's throne? It's easy to do. Give you an opportunity. Every second and fourth Wednesday, we gather in this sanctuary for prayer together. You have small groups. Are you praying? You have friends. Are you praying with them? Or is that something that's far away from friendship? You should be praying. And I love the fact that God says, moreover, as for me, Samuel says, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. We should be in-season prayer warriors all the time. If there's ever a time that we need prayer in this world, it is now. I am convinced the Lord is returning. We need to take as many hearts and souls with us to that kingdom, and we need to be praying. Have you prayed for your neighbor today? Did you pray for the people across the street from you today? Did you pray for the people in this sanctuary today? Did you pray for even the people in your own family today? You know what? He says, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray. You understand what a wonderful instrument that is? Prayer? And yet we neglect it as if it were just a passing fad. We need to be in prayer. When was the last time you prayed for the family members or extended family? When was the last time you prayed with a friend? We need to be prayer warriors. It is given as a part of our lives. Don't make idle promises either. I can't tell you how many times I say it. If somebody says to me, oh, this is going on in my life, I will be praying for you. Liar! If I'm not writing it down and bringing it up, then I am lying to God about my prayer life. How sad is that? Now, you'll hear me say a lot, I will try to remember, okay? Old head. Good intentions, bad execution. We need to be keeping a prayer list. Do you have a prayer list? Most of us don't. I have one, and it varies, and sometimes gets erased on my electronic iPad. Are you praying? If you're not keeping a list, you'll never know what God is doing. Because if you keep that list and you see God making these amazing miracles happen, you'll forget that you were praying for it and forget to give God the glory. You need to be praying. You need to be listening. You need to be in prayer. And then he goes on in verse 23 and he says, and I will instruct you in the good and right way. There's the other part of that. We need to be in his instruction. How's God instructing me? I haven't heard his voice. Oh, my friends, there are 66 books of his voice right here. If you're not committing it to memory, if you're not getting into it, then you're ignoring his instruction. Are you having daily devotions? If you need help with that, I'd be happy to show you different ways you can do that. Doesn't have to be by a devotional book. You know what? If you just open this up on a daily basis, you will find power and strength and wisdom and warning that you have forgotten.
Amen.
This is great. I'm telling you, this world is a world of lies and deception. The news, I can't believe it. It doesn't matter what source it's coming from. Less than half of it is true. The politicians, oh my goodness, 90% of them are false. The instructors, the sources of wisdom in our society are not as we would like them to be. But I'm telling you, God's word does not fail. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will endure forever. You know what? This is the one thing I'm going to be taking up there with me. I don't have anything I'm going to transport. I don't have luggage that big. God says the only thing you're going to bring with you is this heart redeemed by Jesus Christ and the word he has placed within it. Are you in that instruction? God says, I have given you instruction. And then verse 24, he says, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. A foundation is given of fear. And you say, oh, that's not a nice relationship with God the Father. I need to have this warm and fuzzy feeling. You know who this is you're having the warm and fuzzy feeling with? The creator of the universe. He is the holy God. He has never sinned. We are creatures of sin. And yet we want to have this fuzzy, warm feeling with him. Yes, he does adopt us as his children. But you know what? We need to respect him as our father. If we don't have a healthy respect of our father, we're never going to grow, learn, and move forward. We need to fear him. Fear and service have to go hand in hand. I'm not going to obey my father if I don't have a respect for his position. That respect comes out of a fear of who he is and what he has done. And oh, how I could change at his least little thought. I love the fact that Christ says he holds all things together. You know what? He doesn't have to do anything active in order to judge me. He just has to stop doing what he's doing for me to cease to exist. I don't know what it is that holds my atoms together, but I'm telling you, it's in Jesus' hand. He holds the universe together. We need to fear that. Yes, He loves us. Yes, He is our Father. But we need to respect, honor, fear that fatherhood, because He is our Creator, our God. And the most important thing is, He is the Holy God. He wants us to be like Him, holy. So He gives us gracious hope in those things. And then finally, He gives us righteous judgment. I love this about my mom. She would always say, and if you're late, or if you do this, your father's coming home. There's no words that ever incited more fear in my life than to hear, wait till your father gets home. I could be confined to my room and living in fear and dread. I could almost have a heart attack as a 12-year-old because those words, wait till your father gets home. Mom, please, you punish me, please. No, Dad's coming. I love verse 25. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away. Wait till your father gets home. He says that God's patience is not eternal. That's that first thing. God's patience. We cannot continue in sin, in foolishness, in disregard for our God and our Father, and expect Him to pay no attention. He has been patient. He has been kind, He has been gracious in not causing me to cease to exist. I'm a fruit of patience in my parents' life. My father should have killed me several times over. He didn't. Because He was patient. I love, and you've heard me say this many times, and I know it's all repetition in my head, but I love that 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, the first characteristic of love is patience. God must love me unbelievably because He is very patient with me. But this verse says the patience will not continue forever. I've got to learn from my sin. I've got to understand that fear of God should inspire my very actions, my thoughts. I've got to understand that God's patience is not going to last forever against this world or against me. I'm just wondering what day it's going to happen. God will only restrain judgment for so long. It's not eternal. In fact, he prophesies over and over again of what is coming in the end times and what it's going to look like. What's it going to look like for Jeff Slider? I need to take personal responsibility and understand that God can't continue to look the other way and be gracious and patient with my sin. Also, we see in this verse, but you, if you do wickedly, meaning if you sin, you shall be swept away. God's judgment is total. We can lose it all. The kingdoms will be destroyed. The leaders will cease to lead. The money will no longer be valuable. But I'm telling you, God says, eventually, it will all be swept away. We can claim ignorance. Some of us even example ignorance pretty well. But I'm telling you, we've been fully warned. We cannot continue to walk away from God and expect Him not to respond to our walk. Where are we with Him? This looks like a picture of my mother at the door. Be careful. As you go out there, I want you to understand there's a warning, there's a wise caution. We have wise caution. We have gracious hope. He loves us so much that he went to the cross for us. But we have righteous judgment. We need to change. This world needs to change. God's patience is only so long. Judgment is coming. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then my friend, God wants you. He sent his Son to die for you. It's not a matter of saying, oh, well, I believe Jesus is. It's a matter of relationship. Amen. Allowing the blood of Jesus Christ to pay for the sin of your life in such a way that you are now adopted through him. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord? Do you know him as your Savior? This counsel means nothing to you if you do not. The hope is not there. Oh, the judgment is there. But my friends, if you do not know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then that judgment is coming your way. God says, I give you wise caution. Remember your sins. Serve the Lord. Flee this world and its idols. God says, I give you gracious hope, assurance of who you are in me, the joy, the pleasure, the privilege of prayer. I give you instruction through my word. I give you opportunity to fear and serve me. And he says, there is judgment coming. Wait till your Father comes home. Are you ready? Let's pray. Our God and our Father, these words are encouraging and frightening. These words are loving and they are cautioning. Help us that we would listen to the admonition of your prophet, that we would prepare our own lives in hope, in service, but Father, in change and repentance. And Lord, most of all, help us that we would be ready to stand before you because of what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We give you honor, for you alone are worthy. We give you service, for that is the only purpose in life of worth. And Father, we give you thanks because you have been so lovingly patient with us. We thank you for these things. We give you the glory. Help us now to listen to your admonition. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining Baraka Church today. It is our sincere hope that you are blessed with a more peaceful and enriched life. We can be found on the web at placeofblessing.org, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or come worship with us at 2440 U.S. Highway 23 North in Delaware, Ohio. Baraka Church, a place of blessing.